Yeah, so Father, we thank you for just the goodness that you bring, that you give. And we thank you, just as that video kind of reminds us of what Easter is actually about. It's about celebrating the resurrection of your son, Jesus. And so we thank you for just that reality that we get to experience in our own personal lives and also get to experience in the future, Lord, when we get to participate in resurrection as well. So we invite your Holy Spirit to come now and to speak to us, and we thank you for just the things that you're doing in our lives individually. We thank you for the things you're doing in our lives corporately. And Lord, we want to take a moment also and just pray for those in our community that have been suffering, who are going through challenges, Lord, who are facing hardships that are really difficult. And so we just pray for those people right now, God. We thank you that you're present and that you can give peace in times of trouble. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things I've loved doing in the last 4 or 5 years is coaching pastors. In the Vineyard, I've gotten an opportunity to start coaching church planners and pastors. And one of the questions I like to ask when I start that process and that relationship is this. Like, when you first meet a new person, this I think is a great question, but my question is always like, hey, if there is one thing that you want me to know about you, what would you say it is? Like, what makes you tick? So just think about that for yourself right now, okay? What is it that makes you tick? What defines you? Okay, when I ask that question, a lot of times I get really great answers. Sometimes people will say, oh, my kids, I love my kids. Anybody relate to that? Like, your kids define you, control you, sucking the life out of you? Not me, I'm talking about other people. Jeez. Anyway, sometimes people will say things about their job. They'll say, well, my job as a teacher, or my job as an engineer, or, you know, I do this for a living, and that's what shapes me. And so there's a lot of really good answers that people give. And I think that's a really good question, though, for us to wrestle with and to weigh, is what defines us as human beings. And so for the last 5 years, I feel like I've been on this quest kind of as a follower of Jesus, really trying to figure out some things. Growing up in the church, I've got a lot of church baggage and church questions and things like that. But one of the questions I've been trying to figure out is really, what is a disciple and what is discipleship? I think it's safe to say that we probably agree that Jesus invited us into discipleship. If you read the scriptures, you'll see that. All over the Bible, we're invited to be disciples, and then we're also invited to make disciples. And so I think discipleship is really kind of the heart of Christianity. So I've been reading a lot, I've been writing a lot, I've been thinking a lot, I've had a ton of conversations about what discipleship actually is. And so I want to just kind of give you a quick, this is 4 things that I'm pretty convinced discipleship actually is, really quick. The first is this: I think discipleship is following Jesus and his teachings. And that's kind of what we heard last week about Matthew 28, when in the passage on the Great Commission, Jesus says, you know, go and make disciples and baptize them in my name, teaching them to observe my commandments. So following Jesus and his teachings is a part of discipleship. I think becoming like Jesus is part of discipleship. The more that we learn about him, we follow him, we learn his ways, the more that we become like him as we put it into practice, so we become like him. I think walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is a part of discipleship. And then I think that helping others become followers of Jesus is part of discipleship. So I like to think of discipleship as we're disciples who are making disciples, who are making disciples, who are making disciples, who are, and the list goes on and on and on. That's what we do is we, as followers of Jesus, are about making disciples. And so at the Vineyard here, we've kind of articulated our mission, which we believe is actually Jesus' mission for us, which is knowing him, knowing Jesus, and making him known. Like, that's what we're about. And we always talk about how that is the filter through which we kind of, I guess, like, filter all of our activities and our thinking and our theology and our practices through that. So this morning, I want to actually think about another aspect of the gospel and how it fits into discipleship. Maybe another thing I'd add to this list that we have up here on the screen. Before we do that, I want us to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. So I'm going to read that passage of scripture for us. And this is one of my favorite passages. We oftentimes read it during Christmas, but it's so packed with great stuff. And so just listen to this. John the Apostle writes, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so this morning I want to talk about this subject of being a child of God. In fact, the message is titled today is going to be Becoming, Being, and Birthing the Children of God. And so we're going to start by just kind of working through those three ideas really quickly. And so I want to start with becoming God's children. Now, it's interesting about becoming God's children. Like, we talk a lot about, in the evangelical world, about being born again, right? We're born again Christians. We emphasize being born again. Who here has experienced the new birth? Anybody? Right? It's like the language you might use. I was reborn, etc. What's really cool about what the Bible teaches about rebirth is this, though, is that it is totally initiated by God's Spirit. It means that nobody in this room who says they're a follower of Jesus and has experienced grace can stand before God and say, I am so freaking smart, I chose you, right? I am so smart, I am the one who came to this natural conclusion that I need God. That's actually a work of the Holy Spirit, right? We actually stand before God and say, thank you for your grace, God. Your Spirit actually awakened our hearts to see the beauty of Jesus. And so the new birth or becoming God's children is initiated by God. It's something that he does, because we are unable to do it on our own. So it's God's grace that actually awakens our hearts. And another aspect of becoming God's children is that it's totally initiated on the basis of God's love. And I know I talk about God's love a lot, but it's like, even this morning, I was like, man, God's love is so good. It's so good. And so this is what John writes in 1 John chapter 3. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. And so it's on the basis of love. Like, our relationship with God is on the basis of love, of his love. And so he totally loves us more than we could ever imagine. And that's what he says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. But another aspect, I think, of becoming God's children that I think is pretty helpful for us maybe to remember is that it was totally initiated for the sake of relationship. Like, God actually, and this is mind-blowing for many of us, is that God actually longs and desires to have relationship with us, with his people. That is absolutely amazing to me. So the other day, on Tuesdays, I go to a restaurant called Sugar Shack. Anybody ever been to Sugar Shack? Yeah? All right. So I go to Sugar Shack on Tuesdays. If you are bored or you're hungry, on Tuesdays at 12 o'clock, we go to Sugar Shack. And we go there, and we basically love to just harass Terry Blake. That's primarily why I go, actually. And we're there, and there's a table with all of these different people, and I was holding my son, Soren. And I was just, like, hugging him, and he's tiny now. Like, I can still hold him. All my other kids have grown up, and they just elbow me in the face or punch me if I try to hold him. But he still kind of likes it, right? So I'm holding him, and I'm just telling him how much I love him. And I remember looking at him, and I looked into his eyes, and just, I mean, look at this kid. Seriously? Seriously? All right. That's all Don, obviously, right? So I'm looking at him, and I'm staring in his eyes, and I just said, I was like, man, Soren, you bring me so much joy. You bring so much joy to my life. And as soon as I said those words, I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, and that's exactly how our Heavenly Father feels about us. Like, we just bring joy to him. He actually loves us. So I'm sitting there looking into Soren's eyes and had this powerful reminder about how God loves us as a father and as we're his children. So becoming God's children is this beautiful process that many of us go through. Hopefully, if you're in this room and you haven't, we want you to experience that. But if you have experienced it, it's powerful, isn't it? Like, coming to a place of knowing God through Jesus and knowing that he is our Heavenly Father is absolutely is transformative for sure. So becoming God's children is initiated by God. It's something that happens to us where we come to know who he actually is. Now, I think there's another component of this aspect of being the children of God that's also important, and it is the very act of being God's children. Now, I don't know about you, but my life has been very cyclical. Like, I go through cycles, and it seems like most of us have that as part of our spirituality. Like, some weeks we have the mountaintop experience. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's going pretty good, right? Things are going really good. The next week, everything falls apart, and we're down to, you know, like, the valley. Anybody connect with this? Is this just me who's being honest? No, it's like, that's life, right? Sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's really, really a challenge. In my life, I think that's been very much related to the aspect of knowing God. Like, sometimes I can really feel like God's my father, and other times I have a hard time connecting with that reality. And so something I've learned over the last probably 5 or 6 years is this concept of not just becoming God's children, which is like the whole concept of entering into the kingdom and learning about God, but it's about being God's children, like actually existing as one of God's sons. And so here's what's really beautiful, I think, in Scripture, is that women and men are treated as God's firstborn sons with all the rights and privileges. Now, here's why that matters when we read Scripture, is because in the first century, the Bible was written in a world where the firstborn son had all the rights and privileges. So if you were a daughter or if you were a secondborn, you didn't get all the stuff. Does that make sense? Like, firstborn got everything. And so in the New Testament, what we see is that we who enter into the kingdom of God through Jesus and have a relationship through Jesus, we actually are all treated as firstborns. Every one of us, men, women, doesn't matter. We're all part of the family, and we all have the same rights and privileges. In fact, this is what Paul says in the book of Ephesians when he's writing. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Just think about that for a minute. In fact, even close your eyes. Just listen to this verse one more time. This is mind-blowing to me. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And the only reason why we can say that is because we're all treated as firstborns, right? We're all God's children. Those of us who are in Christ are God's children. It's a powerful truth, I think. And so, in reality, when we look at this concept of being God's children, we have to realize that our identity is defined as God's children. So think back to that initial question I asked, like, what gets you, what makes you tick, what is something that's important to know about you? What if we, as followers of Jesus, took a minute and thought that the answer to that question is that we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that reality should shape our identity far more than the things that we do? Like, you are not necessarily what you do. Does that make sense? Like, you are not first and foremost, you know, an engineer, or first and foremost a farmer, or first and foremost a mom and dad. What you are first and foremost is a child of God, and he loves you. Like, that is pretty powerful, I think, which is probably why I happen to talk about it a lot. Because most of the day when I'm sitting there drinking my cups of coffee and thinking about God, I just can't help but just camp out on this reality of God's unfathomable, unconditional love, because it's absolutely amazing. So you are first and foremost loved by God. And this is, I think, an important concept for us, is this idea of a spiritual formation. So for a minute here, think about how you function. And if you want to grow, is there anybody in here who wants to grow closer to Jesus and grow in your spiritual life? Anybody? Like, that's kind of why we do things like this. And so there is a path of spiritual formation. This is my opinion. I think that we need to realize that human beings are actually, we actually consist in three different areas. And if we want to learn to grow, to become like Jesus, there's three areas that we need to kind of work on. And it's knowing, being, and doing. And so think about this with the reality of God the Father, or having a relationship with him, is that you don't naturally know all the things about God. You have to learn them, right? And so as you enter into relationship with God, you do so because people share the truth with you, right? Is there anybody in this room who can say, yeah, somebody shared the truth, the gospel with me? Anybody? Please, for the love of God. Right? I mean, like, we learn. I mean, I look back in my life, and I grew up in the church, but it was through my mom. My mom beat it into me. And I mean, truly, I always share stories with people about how our family, I would not be a follower of Jesus if it wasn't for my mom. She just invested. She would not let it go. In fact, I was telling a couple of people this week, I had the same conversation with a number of people. I was telling them how when my mom, I grew up in the church and I got caught for everything. And I mean anything. Like this one time, my mom was totally anti me listening to bad music with curse words in it. And so I wanted to listen to it. So I decided to take this tape and I put the name DC Talk on the tape because I thought I'd trick her. And DC Talk was this really popular Christian band. So I'm like listening to my tape. She comes in my room and she's like, "What are you listening to?" And I was like, "DC Talk." And she's like, "Let me see that tape." Grabs it, goes upstairs and plays it on the main speaker. And it was like Snoop Dogg or something like that. And I was like, how'd that get there? And my mom would always say, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me," until I found out that all of my friends' parents were ratting me out on everything. And I was like, "That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not a narc." And, you know, we had these great conversations. But what I do know is that it was through those seasons and those conversations and that relationship that I was introduced to the gospel. And I was introduced to the gospel, the good news that Jesus loved me far more than I could ever imagine and that I had a deep need for him. And so it was like this process of knowing, and then as you realize and learn and you come to an awareness of knowledge, it also changes your being, right? Like knowing that Jesus died on the cross for us so that we could be sons and daughters of God, it also changes your being, right? Like I exist. I am being a son of the Most High God. I am one of his, right? And then what I found is that knowing affects being, and being affects doing. Like it's this cyclical thing where we have knowledge, it changes who we are, and then we can't help but respond to that knowledge to do something about it, right? Like we want other people to know about Jesus. That's what I found, is that the more that I know him, the more that I want other people to know him. Why? Because Jesus changes everything, right? He does. And so the path of spiritual formation is knowing, being, doing. And being a child of God is one of those crucial aspects that we have to always have as part of our identity. Like you are first and foremost loved by God. In fact, if we spend all of our time trying to think about what God does, and that's what theologians oftentimes do, and I think we do that in the Vineyard, we always say, like, what is the Father doing and how can we bless it? Like, where is the Holy Spirit at work in this situation? And I think that's good, but honestly, mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is he loves you. That's mostly what he's about. And it's this theological concept of the adoption, being adopted into God's kingdom. So that's kind of the place I was camping out this week was becoming and being God's children. But I also thought it would be fascinating for us to think about things in this regard too, is that we, as followers of Jesus, get to be a part of birthing God's children. And see, in John 1:13, John, the apostle that we read earlier, tells us that spiritual birth doesn't come from human passion or plan. Like, we don't decide one day to be birthed into the kingdom. That is totally a work of God. But what I do believe is that God actually works through means. He works through people. And so maybe a better metaphor for us would be that we all get to be, in some aspect, midwives for people. And, you know, this is what I think we do. And what I love about this and is that we get to participate in what God's doing. We get to see God at work, but he gets to work through us to help other people come to experience God's love. You know, I was when I was pastoring in Wisconsin, it was about 6 years into being there, I met this girl who was a teenager. She was like 16, 17 years old, and she wanted to talk. And as we're talking, she's just telling me what God was doing in her life, but she wasn't a follower of Jesus at all. She was trying to ask for interpretation for these feelings she was having, you know, like, I just feel, you know, really like I need something greater in my life. And it was really fascinating to hear her. But what me and three or four other people were able to do is come alongside her and walk her through the process of coming to know Jesus. And that's what we all get to do. And sometimes we do it a lot, and sometimes we do it, you know, we maybe plant seeds more. right? But here's what I think is cool for us at the Vineyard in the city of Red Bluff is that we have to have a long game perspective, right? Like every seed you plant is a seed. And it might not be 1 year, it might be 10 years, it might be 15 years before you get to be a midwife. But you know what? If we keep doing our thing, if we keep on being faithful to the kingdom and keep on talking about Jesus, guess what? Red Bluff is going to get transformed. It will be transformed because of all the seeds that are planted. And we get to be a part of that birthing process. I believe that we're basically here in Red Bluff inviting people to experience the love of their Heavenly Father and to join God's family through Jesus. Like, that's really why we're here, isn't it? Isn't that part of what we're here for? And this is how we cooperate with what God's been doing around us. So let me do this. I want to share a story with you that really affected my life. You know, because I think being a part of God's family as one of his children and having that shape my identity has, like I said, been easier to understand at times in my life, and sometimes it's been not all that influential. But a couple years ago, I received a phone call one Saturday morning from a friend of mine, and she said, "Hey, Luke, Kenny, her husband, his father just passed away. And he doesn't really have anybody to talk to, and he just needs a friend." My friend Kenny is a pastor, and we had become really good friends, and so I called him immediately, and I was just, you know, what do you say, right? And so I was just listening a lot to him and letting him know I cared about him, but he shared this story with me that has forever shaped my understanding of being a part of God's family, and I just want to share this with you. So my friend Kenny was the product of a teen pregnancy, and he was given up at birth. And so he's placed into foster care until he was 8 months old. And then when he was 8 months old, he got adopted by a couple who had been married for over a decade. And they had tried but had not been able to have children of their own, so they decided to adopt. And that couple that adopted Kenny's sister first, they did it 2 years before Kenny was adopted, and then they wanted a boy, and since they couldn't have one naturally, they again decided to adopt, and that was when Kenny became part of their family. And so adoption, Kenny shared with me, was one of the first words that he ever learned. His parents never kept the truth from him. They always were honest, and they talked about his circumstances. They shared that his mom was 18 years old and that his birth father was a married man, but he had been separated and had met his birth mom, and that they had hooked up, and she got pregnant, and because she couldn't share that with her family, she moved away, and she decided to have him and then give him up for adoption. And so on one hand, Kenny says that it was really helpful to know the truth about his life, but on the other hand, knowing the truth about his adoption created a lot of difficulties in his mind. From a child's perspective, there are questions, and he says some of the questions he wrestled with were, was there something wrong with me? Why did they give me up? Why did they reject me? You know, a child does not think to himself or herself that I struggle with rejection. Rather, the tendency is to interpret the things in life through the lens of rejection. And it just becomes part of the way that Kenny actually thought and he functioned. And so all of the relationships he had were filtered through this grid of just being rejected. And so when Kenny was 4 years old, the dream of his mother and father, though, to have children of their own actually came true. And so Kenny's little brother was born. But unlike Kenny and his sister, his little brother wasn't adopted. There was something completely different about him. He was the natural born son of Kenny's parents. And so even as a small child, at 4 years old, Kenny imagined that his parents felt differently about his brother than they felt about him. As Kenny got older, he attempted to pry the truth out of them. In fact, he says that he'd sit down with his parents and just ask them questions, and he would try to figure out if they really loved him. And so no matter what they said, he always felt like he was less than their biological son. And so Kenny told me, I just asked him this the other day, he said he looks back now, he could remember the pleading on his parents' face as he was asking them, like, do you really love me? I know you don't love me. I know you don't love me. He could see the pleading on his parents' face, trying to basically convince him that they loved all their children just the same. But Kenny did not believe them. And he knew that his parents knew that he suspected that their love for them was different than their real son. And so life, I think, interestingly enough, has a way of teaching us things that we really need to know. Anybody agree with that? Like, life has this way of doing that. So, like, Kenny's own parents, when Kenny got married, his wife and him spent the first 13 years of their married life unable to have children. And when they were a younger couple, they talked about adoption, but Kenny could not get behind the idea because he just had a lot of his own baggage. And so in their 13 years of marriage, during a time of prayer and pleading with God about why they did not have their own children, Kenny had a flashback to a conversation with his wife that had happened more than 10 years ago, where he said he would never adopt another person's child. He actually had said that. And his own words rang in his ears, and he knew that God was saying to him something different. And so the way that Kenny would become a father was the same way that he became a son. God was calling Kenny to become an adoptive father. So Kenny and his wife spent almost 2 years in the process of an international adoption. And I actually have a picture of Kenny and their son they've adopted. But they spent 2 years in that process. And so after 2 years, they flew to Ukraine. And they were able to stay there for a month. And after a month-long stay, they came home with their son, who had spent 3.5 years in an orphanage. And that's Vic, Victor in the middle. And Vic had a lot of medical issues that he faced as a child. He had a cleft palate, just tons of different things. But the first time that Kenny saw his son, before that he even adopted him, they hadn't signed a piece of paper, nothing. The first time they had seen him, Kenny knew that that boy was his son. When Kenny picked him up and held him, he knew that he was his son. He knew that because Kenny had set his love upon him. And he just knew that his heart was totally ruined and wrecked for that boy. That boy was Kenny's son, and there was nothing that anyone could tell him that would make him say otherwise. So flash forward a month. They've been in Ukraine for a month. They've been in this process for a couple years, and they come back to the U.S., all right? And so they're living in California, in Southern California, and they had Kenny's parents fly out to visit them and meet their new grandson. And so Kenny's whole family was, like, super proud. And a lot of it was because their family felt like Kenny was continuing the tradition of, like, adoption, and they were really proud of that because he was giving them their name, their family, their love, and all that stuff. And so it was really cool. And on the day that Kenny's parents arrived, Kenny asked his dad, he said, "Hey, you want to go outside and let's just play with Vic on the swing set?" And they're just going to push him on the swing set. So Kenny's dad stood off to the side and watched him put his son in the swing, and he started pushing him. Kenny started pushing him and playing with him, was laughing and enjoying just the things that you get to enjoy as a father. And after a few minutes, Kenny noticed that his dad was standing very close to him, and as he glanced over his shoulder to see him, Kenny noticed his dad had tears in his eyes. Kenny's dad took his tobacco pipe from his mouth and, with his lips trembling, reached over and touched Kenny's shoulder with his hand and looked him right in the eyes. Then Kenny's dad said a simple question: "Now you understand, don't you?" And so in that one moment, Kenny remembered every tearful conversation he had had with his father growing up. He remembered every time he wondered if his dad loved him as much as he loved his brother. He remembered every time his dad begged him not to talk like that, and he tried to tell him that Kenny was wrong. Kenny remembered not believing him, and knowing that his dad knew he did not believe, and knowing that this hurt him. Kenny knew also that as his dad asked him that question, he was having the same memories. And Kenny knew in a way that his father was telling him that he was wrong about him and his mom. So Kenny simply responded, "Yes, Dad, I understand." Kenny's dad smiled, put his pipe back in his mouth, and took a couple steps back and watched quietly as Kenny kept playing with his new son. And they never talked about it again, because they didn't need to. And so Kenny would say that the spirit of adoption, by which he called Abba Father, had just totally taken root of his heart. So when Kenny shared that with me, I'm obviously a wreck, like some of you are right now. And I was so, like, oh my gosh, just totally overwhelmed with this sense of love. And it's always in the back of my mind, whenever I read a passage of scripture about God's love for me as my father, I always think of Kenny's father demonstrating and putting into practice the type of love that God has for us. It's quite amazing, I think. And so this is it. All of God's children are adopted. All of God's children are adopted. And to all of God's adopted children,
those who are in followers of Jesus. He gives the same love, the same inheritance, the same position, the same resources, and the same relationship that he gave to his only begotten son, Jesus. He loves us just the same. So let's stand up together. I kind of think that what God's been, wanting to do in, I think in my life, but I also think this is true about every one of us, is that he just wants us to experience these stages, I think, of being his children. I think he wants you, if you're in this room right now and you have not ever made a decision to become a follower of Jesus, you haven't placed your faith, your trust, your allegiance, your sense of worth, of value in the cross of Christ, that he would want you to do that, and I want you to do that. I think God really wants us to become his children, and we only become his children through Jesus. And that's kind of the point that John chapter 1 is making, is that it's a spiritual birth that happens, and it's initiated on God's part. In fact, I think through the whole entire Gospel of John, time and time again, what John is trying to say to us is that the entire process, point, hope of redemption was initiated by God. Right? In fact, in the next verse after what we read, it says that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, God himself, God's very own Son, came to this earth, and he initiated redemption for us. And so becoming a child of God, becoming one of his children, is something that I would love for you to experience if you have not. But if you have, that's part of the process, right? Like you're entering into that. But then we also need to exist and live as his children, right? Like, we need to know deeply that we are deeply loved, and that mostly what God does is he loves his children. That's mostly what he does. He loves you. And then I think what's really cool is we get to all be a part of what God's doing in other people's lives and help them experience that too. And that's like why we exist. And so I want to pray for us. So if you will, let's just close your eyes, bow our head, however you want to do that. I think there's maybe a couple of things that the Holy Spirit would want us to do right now. And so as a group of followers of Jesus, I think we can all just in our hearts and our minds, even if you want with your words, we can just say, come, Holy Spirit. We invite your presence right now. See, I think there's a few of you in this room that it's really hard for you to connect with the idea of God as our Father. And it's probably because you either have had some really terrible experiences with your own father, or you've had some terrible experiences in other ways. And so when you think about being a child of God, that image doesn't like awaken your heart to a lot of good things. It just makes you think of a lot of the bad things that you've maybe experienced in your life. And I think that God wants to actually heal you of that. I think God wants you to know what true love actually is. So if you grew up, you know, maybe having a dad who was really distant and, you know, wasn't always really involved, wasn't near to you, that might actually shape your perception of who God is. I had a good friend of mine who every time that her dad would get upset about anything, he would stop speaking to her, and it would go on for like 8 months, 9 months. And so she grew up always thinking that God would get mad at her and then would just stop talking to her. Or maybe you had a father that was one who would lose his temper really quickly. Or maybe you had a father that was really passive. And I'm just telling you right now that's just not how our Heavenly Father is. Like, he is near to us. He loves us. He cares for us. He's actually desires to be involved in every area of our lives. And so I just want to pray for you. If that's where you're at right now, if you just want healing from that, in that area, I just want to pray for you. And so, Father, I just pray for anybody in this room that has been negatively affected by their own past experiences. Lord, there's so many words to say, but God, what I do know is that you love them. So would you right now, Holy Spirit, come and just bring healing. Bring peace. And God, even those of us in this room who had good fathers, who have a lot of things to appreciate and a lot of things we can learn from our fathers, God, we do acknowledge that there's no one who's greater than you. You're the best father we could ever have. I just have a sense too that there might be some of you in this room right now that either you've struggled with having children, or adoption is something that you've really struggled with, just either being adopted. And I just want to let you know right now that God cares deeply about all of those things as well. So I'd love to invite you to receive prayer if you need prayer for those things. We're gonna just hang out for a minute here and maybe just wait on the Holy Spirit, and Dan may or may not sing a song. But as we just stand here, if you need prayer for anything, we actually have a number of people that are going to come forward right now that would love to pray for you. And so they're going to make their way up here. If you need prayer for anything at all, we would love to have this be a space. And I think as a church, it's really important to us that prayer is something that we do. We always have opportunity for that. So if you would like prayer for anything, whether you have a hurt ankle, if you've just been struggling through things, just come forward over here and over here, and we'll have some people pray for you. But let's just wait on the Lord, and maybe we'll sing a song, and in a couple minutes here, we'll dismiss you, okay?